Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there in listening land. I'll just say that because I can. This is Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle People, Be Real to Talk. And this program is sponsored by B4P Muscle. And I just like saying muscle, so I don't care. But anyway, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. So CT Fletcher, take a backseat and cut that cussing. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream. Toot, toot.
Huh? Toot, toot, toot. Check us out at b4bmuscle.com. And now, choo, 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 choose to talk. Okay, Des, how you doing?
You know, I am doing good. I really can't complain. Had a few ups and downs in the day today, but, you know, that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. And I appreciate all of the extras in the opening here. It's like it's a surprise every show. It's a surprise every show. I look forward to it. How have you been?
Oh, it's been an up and down day, but not a roller coaster ride. So I'm thankful for that. You know, life happens, and you react to it. I mean, I've said it 100 times. It's not what happens to you that defines who you are. It's how you react to it, and that is what I'm choosing to preach and practice. So I'll do that. You know.
Yeah, and that's good, and that's good. And I understand you were busy shooting some videos today.
Oh, yes. There's some things going on at Fit Body U, and we're having a lot of fun with that. And just as the doors are opening and people have been asking, and then the opportunity makes itself available, and Mike Newman's not a guy that sits on the opportunity, he actually takes it and grabs it and runs with it. So I said, you know, hey, let's get a video of it so people know exactly what you had in mind instead of what other people are saying. Because, you know, it's sometimes confusing when other people try to speak about your dream because it's from the vantage point of where they sit instead of how you actually see it and actually work to gain it. So that's what I wanted for his, you know, what do they say, from your mouth to God's ears. And that's how we should do it sometimes, especially when you have the opportunity.
That's true. And speaking of opportunity, I had an opportunity this past weekend. Some of you may have seen the video update to check in with one of our former guests, Jenny Chatima. And she was talking about some major milestones. Yep. In her life, one of them being she's getting ready to open her own yoga studio. It's called Be the Light Yoga. And the very cool thing about this is that it's a donation-based service or class. So you want to come learn yoga, you just give a donation. And then every month she's going to pick a different charity to give all the proceeds to.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that very cool or what? Very cool.
That puts me in.
And then... Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said that puts me in child's pose.
Oh, yeah. Child's pose. There you go. Something else that I learned. So I've never taken part in yoga before. So Jenny was gracious enough to show me a few moves. And I'm telling you, a few was all that I needed, as tight as,
downward dog.
As tight as I am. Yep. Downward dog, cat and cow, and child pose. So got all of those in. But I definitely need to be doing more of that. So I gotta check that out. But speaking of checking things out, we are checking in with a great gal tonight. She has got a great story. And, you know, as Kalen said, sometimes life throws you curves, ups and downs, and you just have to take it as it comes. And I think what you're going to hear tonight is a great example of someone who has taken a major curve and really made the best out of it, the best of all things out of it. So with that, I'm going to say hello to Chelsea Headland and ask her to introduce herself to all of you out there in listener land. How you doing, Chelsea?
Good. How are y'all?
We're great. We're great. So we'd love for you to take a couple of minutes and introduce yourself to our listeners.
All right. So I am Chelsea Headland, and I'm an IPE pro, formerly IFPA bikini pro. And I've been a pro for about 2.5 years almost now. I started out getting into bodybuilding a few years ago, just wanting to transform myself, and it just kind of went up from there. I fell in love with the sport. I fell in love with transforming my body and the challenges that come with bodybuilding. And now my career actually is based around bodybuilding and personal training. I own a personal training business online with my husband. So I am full-time doing that and just working through all my obstacles in life. Just like Desiree said, I actually had a brain surgery. It was almost 2 years ago now, so that was a huge curveball right in the middle of my finding out, like, bodybuilding and falling in love with it and working for my pro card. Actually, I just got my pro card, and then I found out I had to have brain surgery. So from there, just a huge whirlwind, and here I am today, actually getting ready for a powerlifting meet.
Wow, so a lot of stuff going on. And I actually want to take a step back because, you know, you're trucking right along. I remember you just getting into the sport and just talking about how you found your passion and how in love you were with the sport, you know, as you just said. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's brain surgery. What was going on or what led you to even go to the doctor to find out that that's what the case was?
Yeah, so I'm actually sponsored by Norwalk Chiropractic here in Norwalk where I live. And I've been going to my chiropractor weekly, just making sure that I'm healthy and staying in shape for all the lifting that I've been doing. And I've had this huge numb spot in my back for quite a while, and it was not getting better months and months later. So he finally said, hey, you know what, you might have a bulging disc, so let's go ahead and get you in for an MRI and get it checked out, just to make sure that, you know, we get it taken care of. So this was back in spring of 2015. I'd won my pro card in fall of 2014, so I was excited. I was a new pro. I was like, yes, I'm going to take care of my body. So then I went in for the MRI, and they actually were like, we found something, so you're going to have to come back next week. This is on a Friday. So I was like, well, I'm going to Hawaii on Wednesday. So I had a really short time frame. I'm like, this is, I don't want to hear this right now. So I went in on Monday, and they had to do another MRI. And then from there, I actually found out that I have what's called an Arnold Chiari malformation. So basically, they didn't tell me right away. So they said, we found something. We think you might have this. It's not like a tumor or anything, which is what they had kind of originally thought it was. So that was a huge relief. But so fast forward to the end of that week when I was in Hawaii, I actually got a call and they confirmed what it was. So of course, I'm sitting in Hawaii researching, like, what is Arnold Chiari malformation? So that was a fun part of my trip. But so from that, basically my skull is too small for my brainstem, and it's being pushed down into my spinal column. So my case was obviously pretty severe from all of the symptoms that I was having, from the numbness to headaches, lots of nerve damage. Everything had been building up. So, and after I had been thinking about it for quite a while, back in high school when I was running track, I'd have a lot of back numbness as well. And I thought it was just like weak muscles, but I'm pretty sure that it stemmed back from that. And I just, my symptoms have been progressing since then. So, so that was in May when I found out all of this. And then June, I met with my surgeon in Iowa City. And then he scheduled surgery that July. So it was pretty much bing, bang, boom, knocked me down.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that is a pretty fast progression and pretty amazing. And I'm actually glad you took a breath there for a second because we have all sorts of questions rolling in. So before we get to the, okay, now I know what it is and I need to have surgery, I'm going to ask, and we're scheduling the surgery, I'm going to ask a couple of these here. Samantha is wondering how you went about sharing this news with your family. and how that went?
So it wasn't that hard. I think for, like, more than anything, my parents felt bad. They just felt like it was, like, their fault, or they, you know, should have done something differently, but they were really supportive of it, and they just, I don't know, I guess more than anything, they felt really bad for me, because if I'd had this since I was younger, then they would have wanted to do something then. But yeah, otherwise, my husband, he was my fiance at the time, he was really supportive and just there for me. He came to all my appointments. And then, of course, when I had surgery, I was in Iowa City for a week in the hospital, and he was there the entire time, same with my parents, and everyone was really supportive.
That's good. And, I mean, I remember you talking about this on Facebook and just kind of step by step and your feelings and everything that you were, you know, experiencing as you were going through all of that. And it did seem like you had a really good support circle that was there for you. So as you had alluded to, you know, you were in full bikini competition mode at the time, and then you get this news. Jake wants to know if your diet had to change in order for you to prep for surgery.
My diet, I wouldn't really say it changed. Honestly, I trained really, really hard. I trained all the way up until the day before my surgery. I wanted to retain as much muscle as possible, because at that point, I actually had switched into powerlifting to get, like, in my off season from bikini prep. So I was really excited for that. I'd set all these new personal records, and I was getting strong, and I was really upset that all my hard work would have to take a bunch of steps back. So my diet, I mean, my diet didn't really change because I was lifting so much, but the day that I had my surgery and then on, that's when my diet changed, because I wasn't exercising then. But up until then, I kept everything consistent, kept all my training consistent, or picked it up a little bit more, and just, yeah, consistency is key for me.
Okay, very good. So I am going to kind of skip a little bit here, and you can always come back and fill in the holes. But so surgery happened, and I know it came out well, and I want you to give full details of that. But as part of that, maybe you can step back and answer this next question in that whole scenario there. But Bill wants to know if you had to relearn any body movements or functions following the surgery. So I guess kind of take us from surgery, coming out of surgery, recovery, and then if you can, in all of that, answer Bill's question about whether or not you had to relearn anything following your surgery.
Okay, yeah, so I was in the hospital for a week in Iowa City, and I was not able to walk on my own at all. That was the hardest part. I had to, like, hold on to a nurse the whole time, walking to the bathroom, down the hall. That was my exercise for that week. Then I came home, and I wasn't supposed to work out at all. My surgeon told me, I believe I had a surgery on Monday. He said the next Wednesday I could go to the gym and do, like, 5 minutes super, super light. So right away I went that day. I, like, woke up and so excited. So I went to the gym, and I sat on the bike for 5 minutes, and I was completely wiped out. It was terrible. I believe I went, like, zero resistance on the bike, and that was good enough for me. So it was a huge step back from what I was used to, but I started at that. He said I can go, so I did that. The next day I did the same thing. I believe that I just increased by, like, a minute or so every single day. So it was just tiny baby steps. But as far as recovery, I mean, it was really taxing for me to get to the gym and do that 5 minutes. But when I was at home, I laid around. I took my pain meds as prescribed. It was a very, very bad pain. So it was in the back of my head that they went in, and I couldn't lay on my neck. It hurt so bad. I couldn't go to the side because I couldn't move my neck. My neck was actually in a brace too, so it was. I felt really restricted. And then I went back to the doctor at my 1 month checkup, and at that point, he allowed me to. I believe I was able to lift like 15 pounds then, before it was lift nothing. You can't lift anything at all. Everyone has to get things for you. I couldn't even push myself up from the couch. It was that bad. But then I finally got to like a 15-pound weight limit then. And at that point of time, I would go to the gym and I would do like 5-pound dumbbells. And I would do like 50 bicep curls, 50 lateral raises, just anything super, super light, just to do something, because my body was wanting to do something rather than just sit around. So other than that, I was not able to work for 3 months. I really couldn't do anything. I couldn't drive because I had that neck brace on, and I couldn't really like stay awake very long because I was on such high pain meds from all of the staples that I had in my head. So it was just a long, long recovery process of doing nothing and just wanting to get back into my life because I'm so used to being busy 24/7. So it was just a huge step back.
So,
just to clarify,
oh, go ahead.
I didn't have to relearn anything. Part of our ulcerative malformation, what I have is I have a lot of nerve damage. So my fine motor movement skills, they have been damaged so bad that it's really hard to do little things like write with a pen and like separate things with my fingers, like my keys, to put them in the key in the door. That's a huge task for me. But relearning anything, like I haven't had to do that, but I just struggle with fine motor movement skills because my nerves that control that have been damaged from what I have.
Okay, good. So thank you for answering that, because there are a lot of questions
yeah.
that are rolling in. You know, people are trying to get their minds wrapped around what actually happened in your mind. So to just clarify that a little bit, when they went in, what exactly did they work to do? They worked to make the hole into your skull and your spine bigger, or what exactly did they fix when they went into your head?
Yeah, so the surgeon, the surgery was actually called a posterior fossa decompression. So they went in the back of my head and they had to shave off part of the top vertebrae and then take out part of the skull on the sides of it. And what they were looking for was actually a ballooning effect, and it did that. So if it hadn't like ballooned open like it was supposed to, then they would have had to open the dura and like expand the dura with a false layer to provide more room. But they actually call us with Arnold-Chiari malformation zipper heads, because we are known to have to go back in and do multiple surgeries because there's no cure for this. And it's a like progressive disease. So it'll get worse over time. Possibly not everybody gets worse. Not everybody struggles with their symptoms, but you obviously just hope that it prevents things from progressing faster.
Okay. That's good to know. And that was actually a question from one of our listeners. Her name is Lynette, and she was concerned about full recovery and whether or not there was a chance that you would be dealing with this all over again. But it sounds like, you know, this is just something you live with, but hopefully live with more comfortably and much longer now that they've gone in and done what they needed to do.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good. So Marcia wanted to know about speech. It did not impact your speech. So, Marcia, I just wanted to let you know we did get your question. Sarah offers her prayers and wishes you well, and she would like to know if anyone or several anyones have been alongside you throughout this whole process.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. And, yes, I have a few good friends who are nurses, and they hadn't even heard of it. So now they're like really aware of it. And then since I've had this, they've had patients with the same thing. So they're really understanding of what I go through, and they're 100% there for me. Same with my husband. He's been alongside me this entire process, just completely supportive, seeing me like excel so much in life and then be brought down to the ground and then excel back up again. And then of course my parents and my brother, they're all there for me 100% and just really support me and my goals. Obviously, lifting again makes everyone really nervous, but it's my life, so I'm just going to keep on lifting.
There you go. Chelsea and yes, her name is Chelsea. She has a cousin with a brain tumor, which is different than what you have. But she wants to know if following your surgery, any of your behaviors changed at all. I mean, we talked about recovery and the motor skills and those sorts of things, but were there any other changes that you think you've experienced because of the surgery?
Since I've had the surgery, I've had a lot more pain. I'm really good at monitoring it and kind of just dealing with it, but I have a lot of neck pain. Sleeping at night is very, very difficult. I will often not be able to sleep at all. And I sleep without a pillow most nights because my neck hurts so bad. It's very, very uncomfortable. It's just the pain with it is so up and down. It'll flare up and you'll have good days, you'll have bad days. And I can't really pinpoint what, like, triggers it more. But really the pain has been worse since having surgery. And I wouldn't say anything has really gotten better. Maybe things have kind of leveled out, but honestly, I haven't seen any improvements since surgery.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
One that I'd like to go back to, and this is something I think a lot of people might have missed, and that's the sensation that you talked about, because I've had to deal with that myself on a personal note. And it might sound simple what you said, but there's a lot of complicated movement in what you were saying about the uh-huh. sensation and being able to write with a pencil. So, you know, I'm going to piggyback that because I, you know, when you lose sensation in your body, you can be touching something, but you don't know that you're actually touching it until you physically look and see it. So, you know, that's, you know, what a lot of people take for granted is a struggle. And if you could just speak on that just a little bit more so people can really get the depth of what you were saying.
So for my fine motor movement skills, is that what you're asking for, or the numbness in, like, my back?
Both. It's like, because they pretty much go hand in hand with how you have to relearn what you're doing, because there's
okay.
a lot of talking that you're not used to doing, but you have to start doing with your own body.
Yeah, exactly. So just day-to-day tasks are really tough for me. I struggle doing laundry. I struggle doing dishes. So pretty much my entire back goes completely numb, tingle. I can't really
yes.
feel it besides the pain in it. And really when that happens, I just try and take a deep breath and say, you know what, this is how it's going to be. You just have to get used to it. You have to do it. It's not going to get better. When things like this happen, I just talk myself through it. And then with my hand, I'm a server, and we have to roll silverware. We have to pick up tickets and receipts. Like, those little things are a struggle. But honestly, nobody notices unless I'll say something about it. I just make it feel natural. I'm so conscious of what I'm doing that I know my struggle is coming. So I try to think about it and just, I don't know. I think it's better when I don't think about it and I expect that it's going to happen. Just getting things picked up, I'd say, is the hardest part, like picking little things up. And I don't know. Dealing with that is a huge struggle mentally and physically.
And I think you kind of answered the next question that we had from our listener. Her name is Sheila, and she wanted to know how you've been able to just take all of this in and make it a reality that you can deal with.
So most days, actually, I forget that I even have this. I've just gotten so used to it. I think that it's just part of my life and I've accepted it. I realize that me and feeling good is going to be completely different than somebody else. My good day is someone's awesome day. I mean, when I have a little bit of pain, it's an awesome day. So I've just really accepted that I'm never going to feel 100% normal. I don't even know what normal feels like, honestly. But I think just the biggest part is accepting it and knowing that it can be worse. I could be so much worse off than what I am. So I'm really thankful that I'm able to do the things I love. I'm able to play sports, run and walk and work and everything. So really, I just and I appreciate what I do have, rather than dwell on things that I can't do or that doesn't feel right.
And I think that's the key right there, what you just said. You appreciate the things that you do have, and you keep a positive mindset about it. And that can go a long way in circumstances like this, especially when it could be really hard, or I guess to do that, or really easy to focus on the things that aren't going well, like you just said. So let's talk about, okay, so it's post-recovery, you've got all these things going on, you're adjusting, but you never lose sight of the things that you enjoy. So somewhere in there, you're still a bikini pro, and you're like, I'm getting back to that stage. So, you know, start us on that journey of what that process was like.
So my surgery was in July of 2015, and I was finally able to lift, I believe, October, November. So right away, I got back on track. Everyone, if you know of anybody who has Arnold's malformation, they will say you should never, ever lift. That's the worst thing you can do. But honestly, I would rather not do something that I love just in case something would happen. I'd rather just do it and, you know, just not sit back and just wish I could do something. So I started lifting again. My goal was to get my strength back. I'd say by January, my strength is back. I was pretty strong. I felt like I was pretty much back to normal from before surgery. So it came back pretty quick. I was really surprised by that. I would say within 8 to 10 weeks or so, I was back on track. So at that point, I really, really wanted to compete and make my comeback as a pro. So I hadn't competed as a pro yet. I hadn't made my debut, and I decided that I would do the local competition coming up, which was the Natural Minnesota in May of 2016, last year. So I got with my coach, Leslie, and we set up a plan. I started cutting in February or so, and I even went through a vacation. I was like 6 weeks out from my competition, and I went to Mexico to an all-inclusive resort, but I stuck to my plan, and I made this huge comeback in May, and I placed third in my first pro competition. So it was huge, and I think that my mind was just focused on the surgery the entire time. Like, you know, you had surgery, like, whatever you do, you're like, this is amazing. So I was just really pumping myself up and just feeling awesome the whole time. I was really happy and thankful that I was able to compete again for the most part.
Yeah. And I'm just, you know, I'm kind of speechless with the fact that it seems like the rug has been pulled out from under you, and you still keep finding a way to look beyond it. And I think that's very special. And you're getting more well wishes than you could imagine from the listeners. Many are really concerned, and you know, they're reaching out, hoping that, you know, you find a way tomorrow. You know, not just what you've been doing, but tomorrow you still find a way to keep being this big person that you are. And I don't know what to say any more than what they're saying. But, you know, God bless you and everything you're doing. Back to the sensation loss, because that's something that just really, you know, because a lot of the listeners are really confused about that. And I hate to keep harping on it, but I really want them to understand.
Okay.
Because like I said, I can elaborate, but I'll do it after you do, because I like I said, I've had to deal with that myself. So I'll let you speak on it again, and hopefully this time it sinks in with them.
Okay. So with the sensation loss, it's actually from nerve damage. And backtrack a few years ago, before I found out all of this, my hand surgeon thought that I had carpal tunnel and cubital tunnel. So they didn't dig deep enough, and I had the wrong surgery. So back in, I believe it was 2013, after I just started competing, I had carpal tunnel and cubital tunnel surgery. Because that's what they thought it was, because I've had, you know, just different nerve problems and whatnot. And then that's kind of also how I found out that I had Arnold Chiari malformation, because I realized that I have hardly any fine motor movement skills in my right hand, and I knew that that wasn't right from having carpal tunnel. I knew that carpal tunnel is bad, obviously, but it couldn't do what it was doing to me. So that helped me dig a little deeper, and that is a huge indicator of nerve damage. So that's what it stems to. So since I have Arnold Chiari malformation, I also have syndromyelia, which is a fluid-filled cyst in my spinal cord. And that is actually what's causing the nerves to be damaged. So in my spine, that's pinching up the nerves and damaging whatever nerves that it's nearby. Also, the spot, I believe, in my spine that it's damaging, it's so close to, like, my heart and or the nerve that connects my heart and everything, like, very, very important nerves. So that was a huge reason that they wanted to do surgery so fast for me. A lot of people who have what I have, they will hold surgery off for quite a while. But in order to hopefully get the cyst removed naturally, they wanted to go in for surgery. So the cyst, I believe, is what is the main source of the nerve damage. And as far as I know, it's not better yet. When I had my last MRI about 6 months ago, it had not improved at all. So as far as that goes, my nerves are not going to be obviously getting better and progressing from there.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, I hope that cleared it up.
Kaylin, did you have some additional thoughts you wanted to add?
Well, yeah, because like I said, this is something I didn't handle it as well as Chelsea did when I was told about the nerve damage. And it really came as a shock, because the way everything had been explained to me by the doctors that were working on me was that, you know, we're going to do this surgery and you'll be back to normal. They didn't give a duration. They didn't give a time frame. And that's what really hurt me, because when they said, you know, 7 years, I was really at a loss, because I'm bumping into walls and I'm, you know, hitting things and I'm bleeding, and I don't even know until someone tells me, you know, hey, you're cut. Don't you want to get a Band-Aid for that or get that looked at? And so it was a lot of, like Chelsea was saying, it's a lot of mental getting used to, because your body is foreign. And that's a way I hope people understand it. It's like it's you, but it's not you, because the you know, you could feel those things and you could see those things. Mm-hmm. And when you move, you knew what you were doing, and you have to relearn that. And it's frustrating in itself when it's like that. But then when you don't hear, you know, the good news that you were expecting, it's even tougher, because it's like, well, then they really don't know. So basically they gave me a time frame dealing with what they hoped would work well, because there was so much trauma on my right side that I could not feel my arm or my leg. And, you know, I was thinking, okay, well, it's got to come back. You know, you heal up, and I'm watching the stitches heal up and everything's coming back to better, and I still don't feel nothing. So that was kind of a culture shock, and I was really wanting to relay that to the listeners, because that's kind of confusing to people that say, you know, okay, if you're healed up, then you should be better. And I agree, because that's what everybody thinks, but it's not always that way when you're talking about nerve damage, because that's mm-hmm. having to relearn a lot of things. And sometimes it's like taking new pathways to basically learn what you should already know, or your body should already know. So this is something I'm glad that we're talking about, because it's new territory to a lot of the listeners, and it was just confusing to them. So I'll just add that, and then let's get back to the show.
Okay. Yeah, I think that my surgeons called it dead nerves. If they don't have, like, the oxygen flowing to them, then they can't fully function. They can't function at all. So especially if I have that cyst in my spine and they're still being blocked, then there's no way that those nerves are going to be able to function properly probably ever again. So I think that's the main part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot still going on. So my question is then, because you continue to, obviously you made your return to the pro stage, you know, your first pro show, you placed third. You always look amazing. You're still lifting, getting stronger. How has this impacted your lifting, or how do you, adjust to continue to have productive lifting sessions with, you know, the loss of feeling in your hands?
Well, like I said, I have pretty much gotten used to it by now. So even if I don't feel something, I can still grip the barbell. I can do all of that. Deadlifting is my favorite. I can use my hand, but then just like the fine motor skills is what I can't do, but I can
mm-hmm.
use like
the
bulk of it. So that doesn't really affect me, but I have had to change things the way that I lift. A lot of overhead exercises and shoulder stuff, that's what really, really bothers me. I really struggle to do overhead press. I just don't have the mobility and like my neck and everything. All of those issues really come into play with that. So I do everything that I can. I might do things a little differently, but I make it work. And I really just put my problems aside and I do what I can at the gym.
And part of that now is pursuing your latest endeavor, I guess, or re-pursuing another endeavor that you were
mm-hmm.
starting to get into prior to surgery, and that is powerlifting. So tell us what you have going on that front.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. So I just competed my last pro show in November, and since then I've been prepping for my first powerlifting meet, which I've signed up for, I'm committed to, and it's in 4.5 weeks. So I am doing the 22nd Street Barbell Powerlifting Meet on April 1st here in Des Moines, and I've been when I started lifting again after my bodybuilding competition for like the powerlifting, I set my figured out my maxes, and then I've just been on a program since then. My husband's writing my program for me, so I'm in the gym 6 or 7 days a week, deadlifting, benching, squatting a lot, and just really, really enjoying the process and getting my strength up. So I'm really excited to see what I can do. It's really crazy, the muscle memory that you have, and just being able to get that back. You know, every time you've been knocked down, getting back up, and then just getting back to those numbers, and then going further and beyond that, it's really, really exciting.
It's...
So what... Nope, go ahead.
Go ahead,
okay.
Well,
nope,
I'm just saying,
you
know, so much going on, and there's still so much going on with her. How she's... I mean, it hadn't slowed her down. I mean, it's basically more like a bump in the road, but not a speed bump or anything that's really stopping her from that. So really, like, there's so many people that are coming in. I, you know, a lot of the well wishes, but most of them are asking, you know, where do you find the mental strength to make it through all this? Because I think that's the big question on everybody's mind, because you don't sound like you're having brain surgery, a lot of them are saying.
No, I kind of forgot that I've had brain surgery, because I just really, really want to be as strong and powerful as I can, like mentally, physically, like everything in life. I just want to wake up and just kill every single day, have an awesome day. What really, I believe, helps me is that I have an online personal training team, and I have so many girls who look up to me, and I just want to be their inspiration, their motivation. I want to let them know, like, hey, if you something bad happens to you, I'm going to help you get back to where you were. I'm going to help you get to the next step. Like, we're in this together. We're as a team. And I just want to show people that I can be a leader. And, you know, you can do anything that you really want to do. I strongly believe in following your dreams, setting high goals, and doing whatever you can to reach them. So and people ask me all the time where I get the mental strength for following my macros, doing everything. But really, I don't know. I believe there's no other way to do it. If I want something, I'm going to do whatever I can to get there. I mean, no is not an option for me.
Wow.
And I know. Wow. And I mean, I think that's pretty evident in all of the things that you've done. And one thing that I know that you recently accomplished and came pretty close to your goal is, and I don't even know the full details around this, but there was a radio station and they were looking for, I guess, a personality or I don't know. Explain to me what was going on. Was it laser? What was going on with all of that? And what exactly all did you have to do? Because I know you came in like second or I don't even know. So fill us all in. I've got everybody confused now.
Yeah, I know. So back in September, I knew that Laser Rock 3.3 radio station, Des Moines, they have a Laser Rock Love contest. So every year they have a laser rocker who is like the face of their company and goes to lots of their events and you have an on-air slot every single week. So I went to their open auditions in September. I made it there with like 30 minutes to spare. And it, from there, it was like so incredible, the experience. So from there, I had to have my friends and family vote. You can vote once per day. And I believe it was like 2 weeks long. Or no, sorry, once per hour for 2 weeks straight. So it was insane. And I had crazy amount of people voting for me. Just random people I don't even know who told me that they're voting for me. So it was really cool. And then from there, I found out that I made the top 10. So that was very exciting. We did a really cool photo shoot and Q&A session and like lots of on-air stuff, like live recording videos and stuff to talk about ourselves and promote that. And then the top 10 for 9 weeks, I believe, we did different campaign stops. So we would go to lots of different events going on around the Des Moines area, from concerts to hockey games to basketball games to wherever, just interact with listeners, try and get votes from everybody, and just get our faces and our names out there. And one really cool thing is we actually got on air for the radio station. We ran the show for 2 hours. So I was in charge. I did all the talking. I answered all the phone calls. And it was so much fun. So, and then from there, we actually had a big pageant night. So that was where they crowned the winner. And we did the whole swimsuit round, another round, and the gown round where they were crowned. And I made it to the top two. It was so exciting and emotional, and I got runner-up. So I was really excited, obviously, because I made it that far, and I've never done anything like that before. But I was, of course, I was bummed, so I wanted to win. Everybody wants to win, but it was such an amazing experience just to do something way out of my comfort zone.
Awesome. But, and I just love the fact that – go ahead.
And say, as you see, I'm all about challenges, and I just, any challenge that's upon me, I'm going to go for it and show you that, you know what, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do my best. If I don't win, that's fine. I'm not a poor sport at all. I like to do what I can, and I'll congratulate the person who does better than me. It's fun to the experience.
I was going to say, and that's just awesome that, you know what, you keep pressing the envelope, and you do everything that you set your mind to, regardless of what you may have going on or how you might feel physically that day. You're still working to make the most out of every opportunity that you have in front of you. And I just think that's very exciting. So hats off to you, girl. I mean, I know you had the surgery, but I had no idea really everything that went along with it. So just very excited you were able to join us on the show tonight and share more about that process and, you know, your personal experience and even everything that you're still striving with today. So just thank you for that. And I know you did a little bit of this earlier, but would like to give you the opportunity to give any more shout outs that you might have for folks that have just been, you know, with you thus far on this amazing journey.
Yeah, of course. And thank you very much for letting me come in tonight and be on the show with you. So I definitely want to give a huge shout out to my local sponsors at Total Intuition in West Des Moines, Inkney, and Cedar Falls. And I just thank them for always providing me with all my supplement needs and being there for me through all my preps, answering all my questions, and helping all my clients. They are a huge help for us. And, of course, also a shout out to my coach for the last 3 years, Leslie Franklin and John Gorman. They've just they've changed my life and introduced me to flexible dieting, just made dieting and living day-to-day so much more fun. And of course, thanks to all of my clients on my team, on my online personal training business, they are huge, huge supporters of me. And then last shout out to my husband and my business partner, Justin, for all of his everlasting support for me and just believing in me to chase my dreams and knowing that I'll never, ever give up. And so thank you, everybody. I have the most amazing support system. I cannot thank everyone enough.
Well, and thank you so much. And I know Kaylin and I wish you the absolute best in your powerlifting meet that's coming up. Kaylin, you have any last thoughts for our awesome guest?
Well, yeah, because like she's really one of the listeners over there. They're just glowing with love for this woman. I mean, she's really won them over, and just by being herself. And you know, a lot of people are tucking their complaints and really thinking about how they view their day right now, because and myself included, you know, with how things go in a day, and you know, you basically humbled me, because this is something that's near and dear to my heart, because, you know, having the loss of a feeling and not really being able to explain it to where people can really digest it, it's a challenge, because, you know, you do want to share what's going on, but sometimes it's so difficult for someone that doesn't walk that walk that they get frustrated not being able to understand. So I was glad we were able to talk it out, because it sounds like we've got several listeners that are having some issues with the motor function, or a family member that will possibly be going through this, and they're really worried and concerned. And I thank God that they actually want to help and be involved in it, instead of basically shunning the person that's having to face this challenge and might have to do it alone. So I'm really happy with the questions that we got tonight. I thank you for being so open and honest with answering them. And, you know, God bless you, because, I mean, wow, this is just really something when you hear reality happening, and it's not something in a script or something that, you know, was thought up in somebody's mind. This is real life. And, you know, I'm really thankful for your attitude and how you're approaching it. And I thank God for your personality.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, how can you top that? So I guess I won't even try. It's hard to top Kaylin.
Oh,
he has
gosh.
A way with words beyond most people
that
I know.
That was amazing.
But I just want to...
I've been smiling the whole time.
Well, good. You should be. So again, thanks so much, and have a great night, Chelsea.
Yes, thank you very much. This was fun.
So, wow. But you wrapped that up. You coined that so eloquently. You know, it is just a breath of fresh air. And I love it. We have so many guests like this. You know, just when you see people out there that are just, you know, woe is me and doom and gloom, so many of them. And then I think we just happen to have the blessing of coming into contact with, you know, the other side of that story of people who don't take that approach to life. And yeah, they've got challenges, they've got some hard things in front of them, but they're just going after it with a vengeance. And I just think that is so exciting.
Yes. And I mean, like you said, you got people that are woe is me, and now we're seeing the people that are go is me, and they're not,
yeah.
Not limits them. I mean, I'm just, you know, you see, you hear, and we get so caught up sometimes with the social mediums, and everybody's, you know, I guess they figured the only way they're going to get attention is something happens and it's bad, and, you know, I can't get through this, and my life sucks, and basically do the sad face or whatever, and then you hear this, and it's like, okay, now what? You know, because it doesn't work anymore. With people facing challenges such as this, and, you know, like I said, and I'm just talking about one arm and one leg on me, and I was just heartbroken, because, you know, it's like you don't really understand the sense of touch until it's not there. And when you
yep.
touch people, you're basically sharing your energy with someone else, and now that's taken away. That's a part of you that's gone, and that's a blow to your reality. And I think a lot of people, until they actually go through that, it won't make sense other than words saying that this person suffered. But to actually think beyond that and go from sympathetic to empathetic to understand that this person is suffering in a way you will never know, hopefully, through your whole life. You will never be able to fully consume the suffering that that person is dealing with on a daily basis. And I am just amazed that she can go through every day with such a positive and uplifting attitude. It's just amazing to hear, with so much being stripped from her, and yet she still finds a way to be the person that she always was.
Because, you know, chronic pain is no joke. It's just
no.
not. And I say that not having experienced it, but I have had bouts where I have had pain for extended periods of time, and I wouldn't want to repeat that, much less have to deal with it every single day. So I do appreciate individuals who do deal with that, and they're still able to maintain a positive demeanor and still shine
yes.
a light around them. I mean, it's pretty awesome. So, you know what I didn't ask her, though, Kaylin, although this is not as important in the grand scheme of things, but we did not get her favorite P4P whey protein flavor.
Oh, I already know it's Snickerdoodle, because Snicker is a smile. She has.
Oh, my. You know, I knew that was coming, though, even when I brought it up. So it's all good. It's all
yes.
good. So with that, go ahead and roll right into your Snickerdoodle shout-out.
Snickerdoodle is Snickerfoodle with no Snickerfoodle.
There you go. This Thursday coming up, we have Kareem Petaway going to talk to us about the WPA and everything that is going on this year. So if you're wanting to learn more about that organization, you're going to want to tune in on Thursday. We've already heard it. Snickerdoodle is Snickerfoodle, not a Snickerpoodle. Let's try and not get that confused.
Hold on,
Des.
Hold on. Hold on. One of the questions dealing with the IFE, it really wasn't in line with the topic of the show, so we did not
yes.
forego it. It wasn't. This is something we can ask again Thursday.
Yes, well, we can ask that again Thursday, but then also understand there is a brand new president in the NANBF IPE organization, and we are working to bring her on the show as well. Next month, March is tomorrow, May 1st. May 1st. What am I saying? March 1st, but also March 1st is Peanut Butter Lovers Day. It is National Peanut Butter Lovers Day tomorrow as well. I have my spoon. So we are going to have her on the show, and we've got an interview introducing her. And that's going to be on Midwest Muscle. So if you want to know who the infamous her is, you're going to have to check our page out. Or you're going to have to come back and listen to the podcast once we've got that interview scheduled, and we will definitely let you guys know. So Kaylin is right.
Wow.
Thanks for bringing that up, Kaylin. We did not forget that question. We just knew that we were going to have all the answers for you as in-depth as they possibly can be coming up on a future show in the very near future. So do join us again for that one. Be watching the updates, because we're going to let you know when. And with that being said, you have anything else, KP?
Not at all. I'm really excited to learn this news.
So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys of P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With Snickerdoodle.